start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?
Hey guys, what's up? It's Ryan Alford and
Josh Hill.
Welcome to the show. It's the latest edition of the Radcast. It's our advertising and marketing weekly news segment today, Friday, June 11th. Josh, good to have you back in the saddle, man.
Good to be here. Happy Friday.
I know. I caught you off guard a little bit with a little bit of a different intro.
Like, yeah.
I was going for the, you know, I don't know, Batman and Robin, you know, like, I don't know. Yeah. Yin and Yak, I don't know. What are the other duos, dynamic duos?
I'm running out of...
Yeah, Mork and Mindy.
Yeah.
Going back to the 80s. Yeah. I'll be Mindy, you can be Mork.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, anyway, good to have you, man. And we're glad you're listening to us wherever you are, however you are, whenever you are. Important to say whenever you are.
Yeah.
Because you never know in a podcast. You could be in the year... 2027.
Yeah. Hello, you know, from the past.
We welcome you to the show, no matter when you're listening. This could be one of my kids. This could be one of your kids in 20 years, like listening back to you.
That's
you ever
true.
Thought about that?
No. But now I am. I'm going to zone out for the rest of this.
Sorry about that. But yeah, man, it's been a good week. The things are kicking at the agency. The heat is turning up outside. I am headed on vacation tomorrow for a week in Folly Beach.
That'll be exciting.
So, yeah. It's our annual vacation trip to Folly Beach. So I don't know if you've ever been to Folly Beach, but, and if anyone listening, if you've been to Folly, it's in Rouse. It's one of the beaches of Charleston, South Carolina, the lovely state that we live in. But it's like a trip in some ways back to 19. If I lived in this era, I didn't live quite in this era, but like what I would think a beach town in like the 70s or 80s would be.
Yeah.
Because like there's no high rises mm-hmm. at all. It's all old school beach houses or newly remodeled ones that, though it's quite clear that they're nice, expensive new homes, they're kind of all done with a similar, you know, hardy plank decor so that it kind of keeps its old school charm. And so
it's hard to preserve.
It is hard to preserve because most of these little, you know, beach towns you go to, your high rises start popping up or just certain things.
Right.
But there's a grunginess to Folly that I enjoy.
Oh, for sure.
So today's podcast brought to you by the city of Folly Beach. No, in all seriousness, I'm looking forward to it. We get out there with the kids. I get the old bocce ball. Are you a bocce ball player?
I like bocce ball. I haven't played in a while, but...
It's only fun, I think, in the sand. Like,
yeah.
Or, you know, if you've got the right court, which is unusual for these parts, but throwing it around in the sand. And I really do beat the shit out of my my father-in-law and brother-in-law. They crushed me in, like, golf and, like, other things. But this is, like, the one game that I get them on.
You got to have your game.
Yeah. Just
whatever it is. You got to find something.
I'm either building castles with the kids. I'm tossing Nash in the ocean or, you know, beating the hell out of somebody in some bocce ball. I don't know what it is. I have a really good sense for getting the ball close to the white polling, as they call it.
Yeah.
So underrated ping pong and bocce ball. But lots of interesting stuff in the news this week, which we're going to get to. Did you catch any of the Logan Paul Floyd Mayweather fight on Sunday?
Oh yeah, I saw a few highlight clips, and then even more memes about it.
Oh yes,
a lot of very sweet, tender, loving, hugging. A lot of sweet moments between the two of them.
I don't know if the IQ of the Paul brothers is 90 or 175,
mm-hmm.
but their IQ for social media influencing the internet and attention is through the roof.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, these guys are brilliant. I mean, their ability, this guy is just nothing more than an influencer. I don't think he has any other background other than these guys have been influencing on YouTube and everything else for, I don't know, 8 to 10 years, if not longer.
Yeah, I remember in college just watching him on Vine blow up for jumping into a frozen lake, and that was
yeah.
it.
just dumb shit, but they are brilliant. And somehow the guy's fighting the great, one of the greatest boxers of all time. And you know what? Actually holding his own a little bit.
Yeah.
I watched all the, I wasn't, I don't know, either smart enough or dumb enough to order the $50, but I did catch the replay and I'm like, you know what? Mm-hmm. I mean, I admired him for, if he's in shape, he took it serious. So the fact that he did what he needed to get the attention to be in the ring with Floyd Mayweather, combined with how serious and how real he took it, I don't know. I a lot of people, I guess they get a lot of crap and maybe deservedly so, but you got to admire some part of that.
Yeah, I mean, to make it that far, there's something there.
Yeah. But,
I mean, again, it is still like it's more of like one of those celebrity matches where it's kind of more about the like the event than it is the actual like sport.
Yes.
So it's just like a couple.
It's a spectacle.
Yeah, it's a couple millionaires. They've got no stake in the game. They're both walking away with like a lot of money after this. So they're not going to like, I don't know, sacrifice their body too much for this, but still.
And then Jake Paul's been like knocking some fools out. I mean, and so you can say, well, these guys were put in front of him and he's trained. Well, you know what? He's still an amateur.
Yeah.
And he's knocking some UFC guys out. So two things I couldn't do.
He's doing some work.
You know, or maybe I could. I don't know. I maybe put my mind to it. I can do anything. But I've just never, I don't know, just smacking brains around. Like, yeah. It's like in a bar fight when you're young and all that. Okay, great. If you have to. But like, not exactly what I want to get into, but damn, if they haven't made a lot of money getting their attention.
Oh, yeah.
What else has hit your radar this week?
I've been seeing probably the biggest trend to date on TikTok of the Adult Swim trend. So a bunch of kids are like remaking the old like Adult Swim bumpers that would play between the like commercials and the TV shows and stuff, making their own versions of it. And like Adult Swim, of course, because they're like smart and relevant, or like, yes, please make more. They're encouraging it. They're commenting on stuff. They're using people's, but like, just a, like they're saving millions of dollars on these impressions.
Exactly.
But it's cool. I think it's really neat. It's like playing into that, like what we've talked about before. Like people love nostalgia. People love paying like homage to like things that are important to them. Like this brand Adult Swim with Cartoon Network, like, they made shows that were like huge parts of a lot of people's like childhoods and adolescent phases and stuff. And so it's like, it's almost a way like a, it's almost kind of a weird, like, thank you for creating the shows that you did, the entertainment and stuff, and like creating this community. I think it's kind of cool.
I think it's cool. It's hit my radar on TikTok a few times, and if you don't know, Adult Swim's the adult cartoons on Nickelodeon.
Right.
And, like, what would be an example of one of those? Like, I was trying to think of names of ones. I don't know.
Isn't Rick and Morty Adult Swim?
Yeah. Yeah. So that would be probably one of the more popular ones, but it's all the shows that I try to keep my kids from watching.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, that's the only thing I don't like about it. It's like, you know, it's that crossed line because it's easy sometimes. It's a cartoon.
Yeah.
There's characters. They look, if you had it on mute, it looks like a kid's show.
Yeah.
But, and so,
I always knew if I saw the bumpers, it was time to change the channel or else I'd get in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, luckily my kids seem to stay away from it, mainly because we turn it off and I guess it's later at night for the most part. But I can't help but think, I'm going, I like watching this on YouTube or something. And we filter a lot of the stuff, but I'm still like, the content filter is like Xing some of this stuff out. I don't know.
Yeah. I got away with plenty. I'm fine.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Are you? No. These are the things we have to worry about in this day and age as parents. But let's get right to the news. So the first topic of today, and this is good news. Hey, this is all about it. This is a good news segment.
Yeah.
A new study done by YouGov says that U.S. shoppers are signaling a return of confidence to get out shopping again.
Yes, finally.
So a lot of questions, and not going to get into every data point. Look, Google shopper study YouGov, and you'll find it. And is it YouGov or MyGov? I think it's YouGov.
YouGov.
Anyway, for some reason, my mind went like YouGov, MyGov. I think it's like a MyGov like site or something. But the sentiment and overall takeaways here is that people are actually ready to get back into in-store shopping.
Yeah.
Even to a degree that I surprised me.
Right. I don't think e-commerce is like shrinking for anything, but like I think people are getting out there. People have a little more like job security these days. They feel more confident to be out in public and stuff. And I think a lot of people missed the in-person experience. I definitely did. I love shopping in person. I like to ask questions and get more like context around things when you can hold it.
It was something like 60% were somewhat to very interested and excited about getting back into in-store shopping. And it was primarily, there were several categories that were up, but things that you'd expect, grocery shopping,
right?
Back to feeling the oranges and the avocados, I think. Is that lettuce truly green?
Yeah. Especially in the summer. How dare you send someone else to pick your own watermelon in the summer?
Yeah.
Not in the South.
I think some of it wasn't surprising. And I think, you know, it's going to be interesting. Like I was reading an article the other day. I was like, it was saying, we're going to be real surprised how back to normal things are. Like assuming, you know, all things stay clear, we don't have any of these variant from the West Indies or whatever it might be. Hey, you got to have a little humor with this stuff, guys. It's been a shitty last 18 months. So, in all seriousness, the thought process was really around, you know, for me was like, I don't know if people are going to be ready, but then somebody was like debating saying that we're going to be really just shocked.
Yeah.
Like I was like, I just thought it was going to take longer. I like, you know, I don't, it wasn't being pessimistic as much as like, have we just scared the heck out of a lot of people that were, you know, trending this way anyway.
Right.
But no, this guy's like, some guys are like, no, we're going to be shocked at like how, yeah, no, a lot more people are shopping. The volume of people online shopping is not going away. And like, we've eased in the baby boomers and everyone else into being comfortable with it. So right. That's not going back. That genie's not going back in the bottle.
No,
but it's going to be interesting to see just how quickly the rebound happens.
Yeah, for sure. Be cool to see this like hybrid of increased e-commerce plus like the original in person.
Yeah. And when you think about it, you know, I guess it's not that shocking because as a human race kind of meant to be together. Like we're like with sporting event, like so many things are and family outings and like so many things are tied to in-person, you know, experiences as a race and a human bonding experience of what we do, you know, so it's not completely shocking. I guess it'll just be, it's all just, if the news will stop scaring people.
Yeah.
And look, some of it I know was because they needed to scare us. But as long as we can keep things non-political and as scientific as possible.
Yeah. Generally, if you can safely be around people, it's generally better for your mental health.
Yes. That and somewhat sun is the sun as well.
Oh, yeah. Get outside.
I'm going to be getting a lot of next week at the beach. So second on the list, Apple is doubling down on privacy further with tracking. They're having a new developer event. And they've talked about this. So extending past not only the removal of third-party cookies, iOS 14, the lack of, tracking, you know, mobile IDs and all that stuff, but going down to the email level with the ability to track open rates and even autonomizing. What do you say when you're making it autonomous or you don't know who sent it to you? I'm confusing my mind. Yeah. Autonomous?
Autonomizing?
Yeah. Anyway, one of those words, but they're making it so that you can actually set up even like multiple aliases to hide where your email comes from. And they're making it much more difficult to track the behaviors of emails in some of the new releases. So thoughts on this?
I think it's definitely obviously going to secure them as a first pick for iPhone for a little bit longer in the smartphone category. But yeah, it's definitely making retargeting a lot harder. A lot of retargeting lists have gotten smaller because of this. The email thing I think is fantastic because I hate getting emails. I don't like, please don't email me or my son ever again. I like important emails. I don't like these random one-offs, but Yeah, I think it's kind of like a first step in a trend we're going to keep seeing. I don't think we're going to hit a point of, you know what, maybe we've done too much privacy and we're going to need back up here.
Yeah. Well, Apple's, look, let's be real here. This is very self-serving. Apple just happens to be bolstering an ad network platform where they make a lot of money on ads.
Right.
And so, if we make it harder for all the other ad networks to track our people and to target them appropriately, but then we can sell ads that perhaps get into that, the algorithm of whatever they have going on.
Right.
Maybe they'll sell more.
Yeah. It's a,
I don't think it's all altruistic.
No, there, of course not. It's kind of twofold here of like, they're protecting your data, but keeping it within their castle walls.
Yes.
And so they have complete control of what they're doing with it and who they're selling it to and for how much.
Yeah.
Especially when they control this much of the US market. It's insane.
Yeah. I mean, what are they like? 70% smartphone? Yeah.
And then secondly, like, this is like the same thing of like Tesla's not a technology company. They're a battery company. Like, or they're not a car company. They're a battery company. Like, Apple is not a, technology company. They're a brand. They're a brand company. So like,
that's right.
They're not innovators in technology and they never have been. Maybe like the first computer, but this is a branding move. This is hey, we're the safe protecting company. You can trust us. And so it's just like, going to boost sales further.
Yep, it is. Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Yep.
Pinterest is introducing shopping list features. So Pinterest has been slow to the game with their ad platform and with the overall, like, you've got all these boards and all this stuff that in theory you could buy, but they've been one of the slowest in embracing kind of e-commerce, the linkage between buying and social media, being a social media platform and network in linking it to commerce and everything else. They've been catching up and they're introducing this ability to create shopping lists. First impressions on that?
I think it's the right move for them. It's a great way to keep people on their platform instead of making, because I think they figured out people were making shopping lists and then leaving to buy it somewhere else.
Like, yep.
Get that commission, might as well.
Exactly. Commission and any spiff they could get and additional ads they can sell to the people that are getting put on the list the most, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Sure, there's some tie-in. So getting a lot more, you're going to see a lot more with these networks tying in with e-commerce. Finally today, and probably most fun, especially being a father, Ryan Reynolds and his team with their gin, introducing the, we're going to get real personal, the vasectomy cocktail. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you for everyone on the Radcast, if you're, you know, years in advance, you're going to know this. I am on the schedule next month for such an event.
Congratulations.
Yes. So I will be having a vasectomy cocktail. Just a different kind, the real kind. Is Ryan Reynolds like the smartest guy in marketing right now? He was an actor. Can this guy go play in another field? You know, like, he's just taking all the fun out of everybody.
Maybe he's going to start boxing.
He's just a one-upper, you know?
Oh, yeah.
No, he's awesome. And, he's got a production company that puts out great ads. They did the Match.com devil ads and, you know, their gin company and this kind of, I'm sure it's going to become viral in some ways. There's a commercial out, so the vasectomy cocktail. What'd you think of the spot?
I thought it was hilarious. It's so fun. Also, looks like a good drink.
It does look like a good drink. I've talked on the podcast before that I haven't had gin in a long time. I'd kind of buried it in like when I was 23 because I had so many. But he's starting to make me want another one.
I've been having a gin phase recently. I love gin.
Okay, there's some new gin bars around here or something, aren't there?
Yeah, there's a couple. It's good.
So I'm gonna have some vasectomy cocktails right after my vasectomy.
I'm gonna bring some to work.
Yeah, maybe I'll do a TikTok on that.
Perfect.
Keep it all above brow, but yeah.
From Ryan to Ryan, cheers.
Exactly. I see there's legs on this already, but cool. Thanks, Josh.
Yeah, thank you.
We appreciate everyone. Short, quick, and to the point, the advertising and marketing news update from The Radcast. You know where to find us, theradcast.com and at the.rad.cast on Instagram. I'm at Ryan Alford on all the platforms. You can find Josh Jill on Instagram.
That's right.
We'll see you next time.
See ya.
To listen to full episodes or to contact us, visit us on the web at theradcast.com or follow our host at Ryan Alford on Instagram. Thanks for tuning in.